Welcome to Seize the GM. I'm your host, Zendad.
I'm your co-host, Jules.
And I'm Null Operations.
Have you ever had a great idea for a campaign? Do you have a bunch of friends who want to play an RPG but have no one to run it?
Do you want to see what the world is like behind the GM screen instead of in front of it? Well, we're here to help you do just that.
Each week, the three of us will be discussing various GMing topics. Terminology, maps, atmosphere, world building, you name it. So sit back and relax, and let us help you improve your art of GMing, one show at a time.
Banter, banter, banter. And we are entering the banter segment.
The wonders of tech.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Oh yeah. You want to know one feature? I'm liking ZenCaster right now. It's kind of fun. And now that I am the owner of the soundboard, all of the soundboards are belong to me, and I'm going to be putting in some very strange sound effects, especially if I can ever get one of those teeny weeny mics, and I just kind of slip it inside like Zippy's, just like inside his like hat or something like that. You know, oh my God. Just the strangest ass quotes. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But well, oh my God. But the thing is, like, if they have a stop recording thing, it'd be nice if they had a pause recording aspect.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Save us so much time.
Yeah. Well, so this is, we're recording this right after Labor Day. So what did you guys do for the weekend?
Went climbing Saturday. My first time back since going before Gen Con, because con crud will kill you. And then I spent Labor Day pretty much wearing white and flaunting every standard kind of fashionable expectation. So fuck it. Rebel. Ah.
Winter white is an acceptable fashion choice.
Well, for you. You actually know that fashion shit. I just wear black as often as I can because I don't have to worry about, is it the right season? Is this a... No, black. Just black. Black on black. It's as soon as I can... Here's the thing. As soon as I can get something in Vanta black, I will completely make one of those just like little ghosty thingies, and you just like, you know, put that over me and I'll disappear. And no one will find me.
That's funny.
That sounds like Zippy's problem.
Wait, what?
I said, that sounds like Zippy's problem.
No. No,
if dude, no one can find you.
No.
That is true.
No. If no one can find me, that's not a big deal. Because usually I can take care of myself. If you can't find me, look up. I might have flown up to the rafters and be angry, and my ancestral switchblade will materialize in my hand.
If I can't find you, I'm going to look down.
That's the point. Everyone expects me there.
Well,
if I'm going to hide, I'm going to hide high. I know. Rub in that I never hit 5 foot. So what about you two gents? What the heck did you do over the weekend? The 3-day weekend. Woo!
It was, for most people, it was a 3-day. Mine, it was only a 2-day, but because I had to work Saturday.
Oh, balls.
That's okay, though, because I was off for Sunday and Monday. Mm-hmm. So I really can't complain. I got 2 days off when I would normally. And then I only had to work 3 days because, like, I don't have to work Friday, Saturday, or Sunday this week.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I had a 3-day week coming on after Labor Day. So I'm cool with it.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had a silly little party for a friend of my daughter's birthday. So
how silly?
Oh, it was just, we went to a little, they called it a beach, but it really wasn't a beach. And they kept saying that it was on the lake, but it was actually on a river that was...
No, when you say silly little thing, I'm thinking somebody put on a party cannon and someone has googly-eyed like Groucho Marx glasses.
No. It was just, you know,
Great. You get my expectations up.
I know. It was not nearly as entertaining as silly makes it sound.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So Gardemange, what did you do?
Did some work, did some cleaning, did some cooking, did a bunch of writing for upcoming Seize the GM blog posts. Yay!
Oh, I'm excited. You sent me a text. And here's the thing. This has been a crazy, stressful week because it's short and it's testing week. And ugh. I am coming out from percussive maintenance on a server that didn't want to work. And my pants are vibrating, so I take out my phone. And here's the thing is, like, I was so spent and so frustrated. And I look at your text and I kind of fall down because I'm laughing. Because it's awesome. I don't know what it is. Your timing, no matter what it is brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, oh, no, that just, here's the thing. Oh, by the way, this is totes awesome. Oh my gosh. Yes, I can't believe I said totes. Kill me. But here's the thing. On Monday, I had my old buddy, The joke is it's the second husband, okay? I've been a friend of them for like over 21 years. The thing is, he comes over and he helps, you know, fix stuff around the house because Zippy has like 3 herniated discs in his back and can't lift very heavy stuff. So, you know, he comes over and helps fix stuff and lift stuff, and I cook him dinner. You know, it's just like, yeah, second husband. But, you know, Zippy handles all the kissing parts. So I'm like, yeah, I win. But, I told him about Legend of the, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I just started doing Legend of Earthdawn, and I have never seen somebody light up. He's like, I love Earthdawn. I'm like, I didn't even know that Earthdawn existed until I got pulled into this. And he just, like, mile a minute. But the thing is, like, with him, it was like, he's just like, oh, the world is rich. He's like, but it's a fantasy world, you know, standard as in, you know, it's fantasy, there's, you know, but, and he starts going into the system. He starts going into the dice system and how he loves it and thinks it's really cool and how it ties into the world. I'm looking at him like, oh my God.
Earthdawn is one of those games that people either haven't heard of or they absolutely fanatically, obsessively love.
Yep. But, when I told him, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm in an actual play podcast on that now, and it's really fun. And I'm like, and you're not going to believe who I play with. Oh, yes, and So I didn't tell him who I was, I'm just letting him stew. And he's just like, he's get this, you know, that thoughtful expression on his face. And he's like, it's got to be something big. But he has no idea what.
For any of you listening out there right now, the Legends of Earthdawn podcast, which has 3 different parties that will maybe eventually meet up, including in one party in which Jules is a member.
And you're in the other one.
The line developer for the 4th edition of the game.
Uh-huh. Yep. And it was brilliant because, you know, because we introduced him to a video game called Hollow Knight, and he dropped the controller, his little man died, you know, just got the crappy dot, and he just like, and just like, didn't stop with the, I'm like, how big are your lungs, dude? How long can you inhale?
Ever watched Mexican soccer games?
Yeah.
Senor Cantor's
goal!
Exclamation of
always goal! Been a grand problema. Fucker, I'm timing this. Nah, but
I was gonna stop it there because we gotta
keep
moving.
But yeah, exhaling, you can control that. Inhaling, there is a limit, like a hard limit. So I'm like, ooh. So unfortunately for him, which is kind of sad, he has to. Due to life and life events, his Wednesday D&D game, he is no longer going to be able to attend. So, I feel very sad. And he's just like, because you know, because that was the one he was also playing with Zippy and Peter. And I mean, you know, those, it's like he really got a kick out of it. So here's hoping we all find a place where we can bring him back. Because, well, you know, it's when life gets in the way and it screws up your games. So.
Yep, it happens. It happens. And speaking of life messing your games, I think that's a great point to jump into our main topic, which
life,
is
the universe and every
GM burnout. Yeah, no, I dumped right in there. It's GM burnout and self-care.
And here's the thing. Here's it, what's scary. You might have it and not even know it. That's,
yeah.
And that's the thing that's really scary about burnout is you don't, not a lot of people stop and look back on it. It's like, why am I doing this? You know?
Yeah.
Sad.
Yep. So there's a couple of pretty easy ways to achieve
everyone. It's burnout. Overdoing it. Obsessing too much, a lot of stuff can lead to it. You know, outside stuff in your life. You know, you're moving and you're still trying to run a game. You can burn out.
Yeah. The usual culprit, though, is the game that has been going forever.
And those games can be awesome, but you gotta pause. You know, pause, put it aside. But the thing is, like, sometimes people can do it, but if it's the same thing, you know, usually to stop that, pause.
Before we get too deep into those suggestions, let's talk about how to identify if you've got burnout. Let's talk about what it is we are talking about before we go into what I think Jules is talking about, which is one of the first big suggestions that I've also jotted down.
Yeah.
So when we talk about burnout, it's not just kind of losing enjoyment in the game, but it's losing enjoyment
running the
game.
People you're around, and as the GM, I hate these motherfuckers. You know, these could be your bestest friends forever. And I mean, and
it can be.
It doesn't. You could still enjoy running the game, but you hate the people that you're playing in. It could be another symptom. It's weird.
One of the symptoms that, you know, I've seen in myself and in others is when you start designing adventures around trying to get that TPK for no reason other than if I kill him in the first hour, we have to do something else for the rest of the time.
Where you as a GM run to derail your game. So that way you get a break and you don't here's the thing though. You might not you don't realize that's why you're doing it. If you're writing stuff to kill everybody and it's not there's ones where your players challenge you.
If you're writing to antagonize them, stop and ask yourself why. If you are writing to actively frustrate, not challenge, but frustrate.
So they can act. If they throw up their hands and walk away from the table, then they left. You're okay, and it's a kind of it's a pride thing too. You know what I mean? It's just like, well, I didn't walk. I didn't quit.
Another one of those symptoms is actually dreading the game. Dreading the sessions. Even though you like the people you play with, you dread the fact that you've got to prep.
You've
got
to get up and go to a buddy's house. And that it's like...
You get tense, you get nervous, you start having all the classic anxiety
symptoms. Like going to class on finals week.
To do this thing that's supposed to be social.
You don't
want to
get out of bed, you don't want to go there, you don't want to face anybody. You know, and it could be in your favorite class, but you don't want to go. It's that kind of a feeling. It's not you're not feeling raging hatred. You kind of feel like, remember when you just didn't want to go to school? you might have really loved the subject, you know?
No.
You might have, but you're just like, I don't want to go. It's that kind of a thing.
When it becomes a chore. When it feels like it becomes a chore. That is a very classic sign that it is you're on the path to burnout. If not already well in it.
For somebody like me, I love gaming. I love, it's fun. I don't find it relaxing. It's not a, leisure and veggie out time for me. It takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of work. It's not that it's not fun, but it's not relaxing. So, I mean, I love it, but I'm tired afterwards. A lot of people come back like energized. I'm okay with coming back tired because I had a darn good time. But that's the one thing is like not everybody gets refreshed playing games. And I found that one other person who doesn't. I was surprised. Because everyone just looked at me as like, well, you're brain damaged, you're the freak. I'm like, I've got the cast iron skillet. And I will hit you. But no, they love the story, they love the game, they love all that stuff so much, but it didn't give, because their brain's always munching on something, it's not relaxing. So, that's the one thing you also have to look at is like, because some, like I said, I'm one of those weird ones where it's fun but not relaxing. So, yeah. I know that sounds weird.
Well, no, it's just, but that's usually, you can tell when you're not feeling a game. And there's several ways that you can actually help to either mitigate it or to kind of help push past this point. Because it will ruin games. Because if you are so tired of
exactly. it. Exactly. And that's when you start, you'll destroy friendships just to get out of this. No, I've seen it. LARP, but yeah, it was everything exploded. No one, it was a mess. And certain French words were said. You can't unring a bell. You can't unsay a word. So, when you're starting to get there, I mean, Garde Manger is like super hyper aware of where he's at and is able just brilliantly to articulate that mentality and explain it. And I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
Years of practice, self-reflection, and all sorts of literal and figurative beating my head against
players,
the wall.
Did you?
Yeah. And how...
Oh, okay. You didn't do that in front
this
of your players,
did you? This goes back to high school. No comment? But what steps do you take when you start realizing this is happening? And I think Jules was starting to hit on kind of the first one I identified too a minute ago, which is take a quick break. Sometimes you need to step away from the GM screen. Sometimes you need to let someone else take over. Because a lot of that GM burnout, I think, comes from the fact that we end up running the games we want to play because no one else is going to run them. And mm-hmm. so we've been conscripted almost into doing this and aren't always having as much fun.
Because we're always looked at to run the damn thing so maybe, rather than get a chance to play.
It is more work to run a game than to play. And it can be enjoyable. It's got its rewards in its own way, but it can also wear you down, which is what we're talking about. So maybe, just maybe, you can take a week off and have a one shot of paranoia. Yes, with somebody else running it. Yeah. Maybe if you've got Jules somewhere near you, you can have her run a little Fears game for you in October. Maybe you break out a board game and do something completely different.
Maybe instead of, getting together this week, unless it's like a special occasion, like a birthday or something, don't, but you go to the library and you go, you know, and get a book and you just curl up in a corner.
Yeah. For some people, if it's a distancing from interaction,
it's such a hard skid. It's very mentally. It's like if this is your routine, like every Saturday at noon we all go game. If you don't do that, it can be jarring enough that it's just like it's like shaking an Etch-a-Sketch.
Well, what I was saying is that for some people, that wouldn't reduce the stress and burnout.
Yeah, that could actually raise it.
And so if you're taking a break for more than just a quick one-shot, if you're actually actively going, let's push pause for a little longer than just a week.
Oh, yeah,
let's
but for not me, just that one, instead of gaming for that one Saturday, of going, sometimes can at least break stuff. That cycle that I'm heading.
Yeah, and for other people who aren't as refreshed or rejuvenated by that kind of response, look at other hobbies, other friends, other things going on. Consume media maybe in a different way because something also tonally different from what's gotten you burned out. If for example, you have been running, we'll pick our home base and my love, Shadowrun, and you're getting burned out, go to the movies and watch Guardians of the Galaxy. Go watch...
Ew!
Watch a rom-com.
I was going to say... In all fairness, yeah, watch a rom-com.
If you want to break really hard, that is a great way to do it, is watch something that's just so far outside of what you're normally consuming that it literally will just...
It's because we don't really play games that are nature documentaries. I'll watch one of those, or you know, like like the Blue Earth. I can't remember what the heck it was called, you know. But let's just put it. I cannot run these very well, Garnier-Manger. I know you could, but I don't have the talent to run like a detective noir game. I have not met anyone in my little area that can run it because, my God, their face tells. But I'll go out and watch a detective movie. You know,
the rain beats heavily on the window, plop, plop, plopping against the hard light.
Actually, I think
and
like Tracer
hard
Bullet.
Sidewalk of the city.
You know, Calvin
Your
and Hobbes.
Stinks. Your office stinks. Not just of the dank whiskey and the stale cigarettes, but of loneliness, hopelessness, and despair.
Yep. Now, we've talked about the breaks. Now, those are important, but...
Oh, yeah.
If you catch it earlier...
Yes.
How do you stave it off?
Well, there's a great way, and that is, we talked about this last time, which was you have to keep the game fun for yourself. And that means sometimes putting in, if you've watched a TV series ever, you will notice that there are episodes that don't
They're called filler.
Fit in to the normal flow. No,
not just
they
not
are.
Just filler.
There are things like all,
like once
if
more,
you have
once
like a really
song,
serious
once
show,
more with
all
healing,
of a sudden you'll
like
have
the
like
Buffy
a comedy
episode.
Or
yes,
or
which was not filler, which advanced the overall story, but was tonally completely different.
Right.
Maybe that shift into something slapstick, if you've been playing a serious or hard-boiled game, maybe a rom-com episode issue session is something that will help keep you and your players engaged because it also breaks the standard method of relating to the GM for the players, which makes it fresher, which keeps it more interesting for them and for you.
Oh, yeah.
If you know The movie Ronin is always one of my favorite movies, but the same basic storyline happens in Lupin the Third. Maybe you need a Lupin the Third instead of a Ronin.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just recently
if you've ever seen Samurai Champloo. Mm-hmm. If you've ever watched this series, near the end, all of a sudden, there is an episode that is a baseball game in the middle of this hunt in Edo, Japan.
It's good.
It makes no sense, but it's in there, and it fits in the storyline, and things move. But
decades ago, there was a crossover between the Avengers and West Coast Avengers and Marvel Comics that was a baseball game between the players.
Yeah.
A competition between them that was actually a wager between Death and the Grandmaster, blah, blah, blah. Create some farcical reason to do something completely different. Yep. Make it a farce.
The other thing is, though, I was chatting with another GM about this, and this is probably one of the most interesting things we came up with, is players are the same. I get tag teamed in. They're still playing their characters, and I pull them into a different game. They pretty much is like, you as Thrognak, Thrognak the Barbarian, you fall asleep. And now you're waking up and there's a forest and there's no color and it's black and white, and I hand you a new sheet for Little Fears. So you're Thrognak playing in a game of Little Fears, which was probably one of the most interesting things that gets the GM a chance to tag out. It gives the player something really interesting to do. And because it doesn't really matter, because it's a kind of like an Inception game within a game. One, it's just, I was like, that was the most genius idea.
The one thing to be careful about is it goes back to making sure that the players are going to be okay with that kind of game within a game.
Yeah, because that's commonly referred to as the bait and switch.
Beforehand is like they already cleared it. You know, they already cleared making sure everyone was cool with it. But here's the thing to make sure is like they didn't know exactly when it would happen. But, you know, certain rules were made as to when they would come in. But that's what kind of made it kind of cool. And, you know.
Sure. And that can
the other thing I recommend
work, so.
Is, what do you call it? Let's see. Sketch. Also, if worse comes to worse, you know, sketch comedy or stand-up comedy to help if you want to, because it's like a Upright Citizens Brigade is usually a really good to get kind of inspiration on how to make things wackadoo. You know, because they always had the ranting man. And there was the thing is, like, he was always screaming and yelling and everything else. There's one thing. Everyone was going in and searching at a house and checking it out to see if they wanted to buy a house. There was a bucket. And it was a bucket of truth. And everyone that stuck their head in there pulled their head out and ran out screaming. Crazy ranting man who had been part of the series all night stuck his head in there just like, I already knew that. Grump. And walks off. It was just that random wax, you know, it's like what was the other one? There was Upright Citizens Brigade, Kids in the Hall, stuff like that. To do that really weirdness where
yeah,
they were
like those.
Yeah.
If you've got the right players, and again, part of this goes back to the relationship between the GM and the players. Burnout, in a lot of ways, comes down to whether or not that is an equal relationship and the PCs, the players, are giving as much as they are taking, or the GM doesn't feel like more is being taken than given, which is part of why one of the other ways to catch yourself early and prevent it is, as a GM, don't try to do too much. Now, this oddly dovetails with my comment last week about organization will set
you really don't
free.
Worry.
Thank you, Alton Brown. But it's the easiest said and the hardest to do. If every week is going to cause burnout, do it every other week. Players are going to understand. If you are someone who can go overboard in prep, make sure you space it out and that you're not running yourself ragged outside of the game. Because sometimes you're enjoying the game but getting burned out because you are burning the candle on so many ends outside of the game to prep that the rest of your life suffers and it bleeds over.
It's like, if you're going to start working, it's like, you know, define essay length so you don't keep writing to the night, you know. Put a timer on it. Put a limit on it. 3 pages, 2 hours. And give yourself a reminder, you know, flashy light, alarm bell, your kids having to pee. I don't know. Or one person timed it by how many times Celine Dion came on the radio. I'm not kidding.
And this kind of also segues into one of the other options, one of the other ways to help prevent burnout that is actually a sneak peek of a future episode.
Yeah.
Engage in some co-GMing. Now, there are a lot of different ways to do this, and we're going to devote an entire episode's main topic
To this specific topic, because we started talking about it, and it was just, it is its own thing.
Spread the wealth of GMing out. You should not be the only person who gets to profit and get the reward that comes from GMing. Co-GMing lets others share and bask in that glory and prevents you from being burned out as quickly.
Yeah. So, well, I think we're gonna hold this for the topic, and we're gonna hold the co-GMing for, I believe, it's next episode. So,
it is next episode. That's why I was segueing.
Our teaser.
We have so many future episodes. We're all excited about, like, wait, when's that one? Well, that's in 3 months. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got the master list up right here.
Starting to burn out or at the tail end of burnout is you have to come first, no matter what. Is you can't light yourself on fire to keep everyone else warm, because you'll end up a husk and you'll have. That's not fun. You know? So the thing is. Yeah, you're all working together as a group, but if you've got nothing to give, or you can't, or and it's like it's not fun for anyone else. And if you're playing with people that you care about and that care about you, they're not gonna want to be the kind of person that's making you feel like crap, you know? Because I want to play a game, you're miserable. Ugh. So, and honest. Yep,
like
and be
I said,
honest. Here's the
it
thing:
goes
is like,
back
be
to that
honest. Don't bullshit your players, unless that's part of your game. But yeah, but just be honest.
No,
you don't have to go into detail. You can just say, "Hey, family shit." Yeah.
These are friends, or at least they're supposed to be. And if you say, "Hey, I need a break," they're probably going to say, "Okay." If you've got one player you're closer to than others, maybe lean on him or her a little bit stronger and say, hey, I'm really burning out. Can you take a week or two or a month and run something so I can clear my head?
Communication.
Don't neglect the resource of your playing group by neglecting to communicate.
If they just see that you're being angry, they're not going to know that. They might think that you're angry, but they're not going to realize you're burned out. So, you know. And here's the thing. Yeah.
It's that whole communication thing that we do talk about a lot. Is you need to talk with everybody so that people realize that, I'm a little burned out right now. Mm-hmm. I really don't feel like doing this anymore.
Exactly.
So somebody needs to step up.
You know, hey, see what happens. So.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and roll into...
Before we roll out, that's your perfect time to use the tricks that we had for somebody else to get people into a new game. Encourage that person to listen to our previous episodes and get them
Ninja,
sold on a
hold
new
on.
Game.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is another good one, too. Yeah, so let's go ahead and roll into our stat blocks, folks. And now we enter Stat Blocks. This is a segment where you can use something that we've created in your game tonight.
Oh,
All right, Jules, you get to go first this week. Because you'd been pulling that on me for the last 2 weeks in a row.
You've got, like, drink knowledge and charm and gravitas. I'm just loud.
You wrote a stat block.
Yes, I did.
You wrote a stat block
this week. Oh, God, I hate you all so much. No, I'm kidding. I really don't hate you guys. I love you guys. But damn it, you guys! All right, all right. This week I came up with the Shattered Moon of Akamar. Two generations ago was when the calamity happened. Some cosmic detritus, a lost hyperplanetesimal, a rogue comet. Records from that day were lost. We're not sure. It was caught in the moon's gravity and eventually collided. That was the last day the residents of Akamar knew of hope and safety. After the collision, the planet's residents who had the money and the means fled to neighboring systems. The residents who couldn't leave were abandoned. Now, debris from the collision randomly rains upon the planet, driving the populace into hiding. This includes those who, however futilely, try to maintain a semblance of law and order. With no witnesses, various ne'er-do-wells are free to do what they like, both planetside and in low orbit. The scoundrels were already equipped to survive in hazardous locales. The destruction of Akamar's moon just gave them a new place to conduct business. To try and prevent Akamar from becoming another stellar Tortuga, the Dominion often sends in small details of constables to check in on the planet. Not that they really do anything useful. The constables will occasionally check in with local settlements. With a constant bombardment and high crime rate, who in their right mind would live here, they'll ask, somewhat rhetorically. And the response from the locals is almost always the same. Those who want to, or those who have to.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice.
It's a little...
Well done.
It's not quite my standard horror fare, which I'm usually very good at, but,
It's got the same undertones. It played to your strengths.
Yeah.
All right, Zen, you gotta go next. You go next, Zen.
So, I do, actually.
We made Guard Manager go first last week, so he gets to go last this week.
Well, yeah, that's okay, too. I like being in the middle somewhere. So, yeah. Yeah. So, today we are going to talk about Geth. Sliding the shutters open and dropping noiselessly into the room, the little shadow slinked to the sleeping figure and the key around their neck. As their lips pulled back and the white teeth shined in the moonlight, the grin was infectious. The deft little hands reached out, and as the exhale of breath comes, they lift the key without a sound. Geth is a boogeyman of sorts. When things go missing or cannot be found, Geth is blamed. The truth is, Geth spreads these rumors herself, making people think Geth is a male monster that steals anything and everything. The truth is, she is just a very industrious and accomplished halfling thief.
Wicked.
Very nice.
I wanted something that was a little different than, you know, the usual, like, oh, they're a big meanie guy. No, this is just this little bitty girl that's like, I steal everything.
Fits so very, very well. I love it.
Yeah. Without being a Kender.
Fucking Kenders.
Because Kender bad.
No comment.
All right, Garde Manger, what do you got?
All right, well, this time I actually went back to fantasy because I'd kind of gone modern the last couple of ones I did. And so let me tell you about the Ring of Talothriel. You know, once, some time ago, the Elven King's Ring was known far and wide. A beautiful filigreed ring of possibly made of unobtainium or... insert your fantasy metal of choice, interwoven with a cutting from the heart of the elven life tree. The ring held the attention of those who saw it in court and heard of it from afar, and commented on its seamless blending of the worked metal and the natural wood. A symbol of modern elven accomplishment, a thing of true beauty. A century back it vanished in the scuffle of this king's untimely death as many vied for the throne. Its beauty and import were lost to the ages of time. And since then, the legend of what the ring could do has only grown with each telling. It's a powerful artifact gifted from the immortals. A magical repository of the dead king's soul, a sigil from which the true power of the elven court shall flow. As another dynastic struggle looms, the importance of that lost ring becomes once again paramount to the court, and indeed to the world. But should you find it, no magical aura surrounds it. There is no indication that this is anything more than a magnificently made indicia of rulership. No indication this is anything more than the elves' best and some say successful attempt to shame even the dwarven craftsmen. Why then does it matter so? And who should possess such a purportedly powerful thing? Can you or your players realize or discover that the ring holds no magical power, but is instead the key to the hidden vault of the elven court? Mages and artisans collaborated to make a key that neither would recognize, that subtly fits into the lock on the left arm of the elven throne. Hidden inside this compartment, unlocked only by the fitting of this ring, are the words of that former king. His diary, the writings of the last undisputed monarch of the elven nation. What secrets do they hold? And who do your players think should have such power available to them?
Dark. Well done, sir.
Ooh.
I like that. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Damn, your stuff is awesome. Like I said, you're creative and awesome, and I love it.
I'm just trying to live up to the examples you set, and as the person here who is just waiting for Null to return triumphantly, I just need to make sure I keep the seat warm. Otherwise,
well,
you know,
yeah,
I'm going to get lashed
with
a wet noodle.
Your writing and your style is like with the stuff that the blog posts or what have you. You're good at it, and I like it because it's, I don't know, it's like certain people, you've got more of a theatric flair to yours. You know, Zen's kind of got like that sage on the stage, kind of like dark storyteller kind of thing going. It's the style, and I enjoy it. Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. Get out of my head.
All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap that part up. So let's go ahead and slip into our next segment, which is Lexicon.
We give you cool words to help improve your vocabulary.
All right. So our word this week is parabolic.
Oh, God. Really? You're bringing this in front of the... Oh, yeah. God. In front of the math nut. You monster.
I know. And it is an... it is... We're not going to ask who knows what it is and all of that fun stuff that we normally would. But it is a adjective. And the definition is... Now, this is where it's going to kind of get you here. Expressed by or being a parable... That is the allegorical
There's two
definition for it. Yeah. And the second one is of having the form of or relating to
parabola.
A parabola.
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 Y
parabola,
equals,
parabola,
it's a variant
whatever.
Of y equals x blah, squared. Blah, blah. It's the shape that makes on a graph.
It's basically what happens when you intersect a cone with a plane.
Yeah. Now, its first known use was the 17th century. Mm-hmm. And its origin and etymology are... definition
Smarty
one
pants.
Is from late Latin, which is Parabola or Parable. And the second one is also from Parabola, because, you know, that is exactly what it is. So it's just kind of one of those words that's not normally used.
It's not quite an arc, but if you're trying to describe an arc, trying to add flavor when you're talking to your players, the parabolic arc of the grenade, or you set your ship into a parabolic arc around the planet before you beam down to investigate. It's a great way to add a little extra oomph to your flavor text.
Yeah. Yeah. And the same thing with using it as the allegorical and how things are related to parables. So it's another way. And a lot of people will be like, no, you're using it wrong. And then you're like, no, you're not. Boom, here's how it works. And they have to just accept it because that's how things go. The man of little knowledge, but lots of bullshitting, basically. So, but that is our word. Fun little thing that it is. So, I think we're going to go ahead and close this bad boy up. We've been doing pretty quick on this one. So, for our closing remarks.
I got to go first again.
What do you got, Jules?
Ah, all right. Pretty much, it's a collection of Shadowrun short stories. It's called Sprawl Stories 1, and it's a collection of, you can get the electronic books on Amazon, but they actually took all these short stories and put them in a nice little anthology. And, oh my gosh, it's Rusty Zimmerman, Dylan Bertolo, R.L. King, I think, is the other one, and Jennifer Brozek are the four authors in there, and they're amazing people. And the stories, the nice thing are, they're short. They're not going to take you long to read, but they're really engaging. So if you're also curious about checking out some Shadowrun authors and cyberpunk authors, check it out, because it's a nice collection of four unique authors. Yeah, I cannot speak. Four unique authors. And if you like their stuff, since it's just a short story, you know, and you like it, now you can go check out some of their other stuff. So it's a great way to get, you know, a taste of some different Shadowrun authors. So go pick it up.
Cool. So, all right. Gardemanger, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to make a recommendation similar in the short story vein, because by the time this comes out, we're only going to be 2 short weeks away from October, which means Halloween. So if you haven't in a while, or if you never have, go pick up the complete works of Edgar Allan Poe and read them. Summer's over. Weather's beginning to change. The leaves are beginning to turn. Now, as the chill starts to creep into the air, is time to review what Edgar Allan Poe wrote. It's time to see again what fear, what horror, what terror, what there is in the dark.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Poe is great.
Definitive and defines a lot of the genres. Knowledge of Poe and the conventions and tropes that he created is necessary if you want any familiarity with modern horror.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Hell, even Lovecraft talks about him. So,
like I said, there's a reason you need to read this stuff, people.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you a hint. I'm probably going to talk about him again when we start talking about our episodes that come out in October.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we will. We definitely will. So, all right. Now I'm going to hit on something that I have been watching more of a not entirely. It's kind of almost been at gunpoint.
Is there another Kickstarter full of minis?
No, no. Well, there is, but I did not back that. No, instead, I have been, my wife has been making me run through the latest season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix. And it's
the good. The one that started LMD?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Life Model Decoy.
Yeah, you have to watch it to understand what all is going on.
No, I have three other acronyms for LMD. I have three other acronyms.
It's a lot
of
fun.
So I have to check which one.
Yeah. But it's really cool, and it actually, about midway into the season, it takes a very sharp turn into like an alternate history and also a very cyberpunk bend.
Sweet.
Like real sharp, real fast.
I'm seconding Zen on this. It was a really good season. They've hit their stride well and are playing to their strengths at the moment.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen the new one because it's obviously on right
now. That's the most recent one.
Yeah, that's the one where they're it's good.
The turn you just described is the rest of that season, and I don't believe they've started back since then. That's the one that ended this summer.
Okay. So yeah, it's fun, and I've almost finished it, and then I'll be finishing it probably
later?
Tomorrow. Probably tomorrow.
By the time this airs, it will have been finished.
Yeah. Yep. So, well, I think that wraps us up into a nice little bow of watching out for that evil, wretched thing called GM burnout, folks.
If you've got any suggestions on how you do it, or if you've got any examples of how you've seen other people do it, be sure to drop us a line or post in the Facebook group or find us on Twitter to share and tell us and other people how you have fought that particular demon that just about every GM has faced at one point or another.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/SeizeTheGMPodcast. So Come find us, chat it up. We haven't talked in there in a while because nobody's talking to
lonely.
Us.
We're lonely. Say hi.
So we're lonely. Yes, please come and say hi. So until next week, guys.
Keep playing games, man.
See ya. Oh, yeah. Keep playing as many games as you can get your hands on. And
bye,
we will
guys.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
You can contact us or the show by using Twitter, Facebook, or regular old email. Our Twitter accounts are @ZenDead,
@JulesPodcaster,
and @NullOperations.
And the show's Twitter account is @SeizeTheGM.
And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/SeizeTheGM.
You can email questions or comments to the show at admin@SeizeTheGM.com.
You can email me at zendead@seizethegm.com.
Me at jules@seizethegm.com.
And me at nulloperations@seizethegm.com.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Seize the GM. Feel free to leave a comment about this episode on our webpage, www.seizethegm.com. Let the dice fall where they may, and we'll see you again next week.
Seize the GM is released under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted materials referenced herein are held by the respective owners. No infringement is intended, and no claim of ownership is implied.
The music for the show is Dreaming Spirit, off of the album Ghost Machine, by The Enigma TNG. His music is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 3.0, Unported License.